Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause. www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs.
Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson with TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes?
Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Car, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscars.com.
Hello.
Remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Car.
Hello.
www.caseyscars.com.
Buenos
Looking
dia.
For that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs.
Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage.
Gentlemen, and welcome to the Heart Grapevine, number 14, filling in for Matt Joslin is Magic Mike Ferrara and the one and only Smith Hart. Smith, how are you tonight?
Hey. Yeah, I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just getting ready to do this show with you tonight. So, first off, let's get a health update. How are you feeling these days?
I'm feeling pretty good, actually. I just had my, in between the last interview with Eric Bischoff last week, which was a very good interview. And this week I got my, I believe it was during that time frame, I got my 6 month injection. And that's a chemical castrator or a testosterone annihilator injection that will stay in me for 6 months and it will keep the prostate at bay by killing all the testosterone within me. So there's good and bad kind of side effects, but basically I'm feeling pretty good. And prior to that, a surgery, they call it TERP. Seems to help a lot, or I'm back to functioning normally. So I'm not feeling too bad, you know. I'm not bothered that summer is virtually over and all that. If I was back in school, maybe I'd be hating it, but because I never liked returning to school. The only good thing was we got a lot of nice new clothes going back to school, but basically I didn't like the academia. I could pass most stuff without actually buying the books or attending class, so I wasn't interested in it. But anyway, that's history. So anyway, I'm really glad about my health. I can't say much more than that. It's like an answer to my prayers that I'm not feeling like I'm dying. That's a big difference to being able to say I can live like this. If I stayed like this, I could live to be 100 and not be bothered, whereas a year ago and even a couple of times since then, I felt like I was going to die and it would be good to die because every day was just living death and torture. Really, I'm not kidding.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing good because I pray for you all the time. You're in our thoughts and our prayers all the time. Ever since they, you know, talked to me about you coming aboard, you've been a friend, and definitely you're doing what's good for you, and I'm happy for you. This is the Totally Driven Radio Entertainment, and we're all a family, and you're part of the family, Smith. You know, and you mentioned Eric Bischoff. I got the pleasure of meeting Eric Bischoff and Bruce Prichard together at a meet and greet for the Monday Night Wars, where they actually talked about the Monday Night Wars, and fans actually asked them questions. And it was interesting to hear, you know, Bischoff's response, because I was a big Bischoff guy growing up. I have his DVD, I have his book, so I read a lot about Eric. So any chance that I get to listen to Eric himself, I also do that, because Eric has a podcast, and it's called Bischoff on Wrestling. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that?
I think so.
Okay, it's called Bischoff on Wrestling, and he's got three episodes, and it's very entertaining to listen to Eric, and he speaks. You know, he's a very intelligent guy. I think Eric Bischoff is my favorite of that era. Between all the guys, I think Eric is my guy. So
he's a very articulate man, and he was in the unique position of being really the only guy from Turner that put WWE on the run for a while.
I think definitely what helped them was when he was in the meeting with Turner, and Turner said, "What do I have to do to compete with Vince?" And Eric says, "Well, their show is taped. Why don't we go, you know, why don't we go live?" And he said that at the time, Scott Sasso was ordered to give Bischoff time on TNT, which was a really big station at the time. And being in the wrestling, Bill, you were in the wrestling business. Being a wrestling fan at the time, I was shocked that when I watched, you know, Monday Nitro, what I seen, that another company is going up against the WWF. And at the time, I know now they call it E, but at the time, Smith, I remember thinking to myself, you know, Raw is pre-taped. Preempted because of the USA Open. And, you know, here's Eric Bischoff and them doing Monday Nitro from a mall. And they had more people packed in that mall than I've ever seen in my life. So that's a big move if you're Eric Bischoff. So that's a big thing I credit him for.
Sure.
You know, that's a... You know, when we talk about the rights about wrestling and the wrong, Eric Bischoff gets the controversial. He's the controversial guy because he's the guy that did it. One of the controversial moves that he did was he used to give away the finishes, and that was controversial.
Yeah, but I don't understand that.
That's because he wanted to compete. That's because he he said, you know what, they're taped. I'll just give away the finishes. But what
oh,
he
would
did,
give away
the
finishes of Vince. He'd give away the WWF finishes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what he would do on the air. He'd give away the
finishes.
Oh,
I see. That, yeah.
Like,
okay, I
like
can understand
say,
that. That's dirty. That's kind of dirty to do that. But to me, any publicity.
Yeah, that's a dirty move.
Dirty move, but at the same time, publicity is publicity.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's one. Then he had Alondra Blaze, Medusa dropped the belt, the women's belt in the garbage. That was a move that I never, ever thought I'd see Medusa in the Hall of Fame, and she's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't get that either. You wonder what the hell's going on.
But that's Eric Bischoff for you, though. I'm glad you guys got to speak to him. And hopefully we'll hear the interview right here. We get it taped, and then we get it on the air, and we can hear, and the fans can hear it. Because I got to tell you, your interviews lately, the guests that you've been having on the show is unbelievable.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Hey, I have a question for you about your brother Owen.
Yeah.
Okay. My question to you is, I watched the Owen Hart DVD today, and they said that Owen used to wrestle around when he was little with a teddy bear. He used to make a cat wrestle with the bear.
Yeah, it was actually a monkey, and the monkey had these big rubber-tipped hands and feet. The rest of it was all just sort of cloth and stuffing. It had long arms. There's not much in them, so they could kind of swing around and hit the cat. You know, and there's a feisty little cross-eyed, kinky-tailed Siamese tomcat. Heathcliff was his name, and he was kind of a smaller male cat. Owen could get him right under the armpits, you know, and behind the back and hold the monkey and him face to face. And the cat would just hang his head, and as soon as the monkey came toward him, the cat would claw the monkey. He knew what was going on, you know, and usually the monkey's arm would reach right around and hit the cat in the gut, you know, and right around his back and back to where it was just starting to go around him, and that's about where the arm would end and the fingers would wrap the cat in the guts. Then they would have the cat on top of the monkey, and the cat would sink his teeth into the monkey's jugular, and the monkey would be swinging wildly at the cat, and then they actually would reverse it where the monkey's on top and the cat's on top, and they're rolling around, and he never let go of either one of them. And he'd have finishes where the cat won, he got his hand raised, or the monkey, you know. Sometimes the cat looked like he knew what it was all about and hating the fact that he had to lose again. But anyway, that was very funny. And
Your brother Brett said that he'd have everybody like there on a Christmas, and Owen would be on the floor playing around with the cat and the monkey. And then he'd say to the cat or the monkey, "You're going over tonight."
That's
one of the things. That's one of the things I love about wrestling, because you get so many great stories, especially from Owen. Being the younger, you know, being the youngest, the baby of the family, you know, Owen, you know, like Jim the Anvil Neidhart says, he remembers when he met Owen, and you know, he remembered how Owen was. He said, and Owen would just be rolling around on the floor and doing crazy stuff and things. I mean, that's a great, you know, those are great stories. You don't get to hear stories like that, you know.
No, it's a little bit like the Waltons and the Munsters kind of combined.
So another question that I was thinking about was the Stampede, when they did the whole Stampede and all the family was in the ring, and and that right there was just a great. First of all, that had to be great for your whole family.
I'm sure it was. Yeah, I recall being there, and you know, so many fans there that loved us and, you know, knew us as well as they knew anybody in the WWE.
Yeah, your fam. The reason why the fans loved you is because you guys are a legacy. Your brothers are a legacy. If you mention the Hart Foundation or the Hart family, everybody knows that we're talking about the wrestlers. You know, we're talking about great people. Even your brother. I mean, your brother Brett was like royalty. Even Owen was royalty. As well, when I found out that Owen Hart was the Blue Blazer, I was in shock. I never knew that. You know, I used to watch the Blue Blazer as a kid, and I used to see him have some great matches with the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, he had great matches.
I never knew that was Owen until Owen said something one day. He said, "Brett forced me to be the Blue Blazer," and I went, "When the heck was Owen Hart the Blue Blazer?" And they said, "Don't you remember the Blue Blazer?" And I said, "That was Owen?"
One of my better interviews, I thought, recently was with, you know, I interviewed Hugo Sabinovich not too long ago, and he's a true professional. And Owen was like that, a true professional. Like, Owen made the most. It's just like even Santino Morelli, when they had him doing demeaning things and wearing a goofy, complicated, hot outfit with no real push behind it, Owen would make the most of it. He'd make lemonade out of a sour, rotten lemon. And Santino Morelli is another one that did that. And, he kept the Blue Blazer.
Santino Morella.
Yeah,
but I was going to say, Santino Morella was a really good interview that you had, because, like, Hugo Savinovich, same thing with him. When I had Hugo on my show, he was funny. He talked about Shawn Michaels. He talked about Shawn Michaels taking his boot and throwing his boot in snow, you know, throwing his boot out to the fans. And then Hugo had to walk to, you know, the next on the plane in the snow with one boot, he said.
Yeah.
But you're right. Santino Morella was the same way. The difference between Santino and Owen was that Santino got a push, like, really quick for the IC title.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cheap way of that was pretty shoddy to the fans anywhere, I thought. But you know, set that up, you know, somebody's gonna come out of the audience and wrestle for a world title and win it, you know, someone just happened to be
there. That's something I thought I would never see. Them pick a guy. That's like years ago. Them saying, "Okay, we're going to pick a guy out of the crowd, and it's going to be Earthquake John Kenta, and he's going to come out of the crowd, and he's going to beat the Ultimate Warrior for the Intercontinental title." That's something that you never really heard of, you know?
No.
And I tell you, I like Santino Morella. I thought the guy was great. I thought his personality was great. But the problem is, I don't, like you said, I don't think the WWE knew what to do with them too much.
No. They used him in belittling ways, but he came out shining.
Owen was put in a tag team with Coco Beware. They called themselves High Energy. To me, it didn't look like they were ever going to win the tag titles. It didn't look like
I didn't like those baggy clown outfits they wore either, you know, but still it's like they overcome that to get kind of a unmarketable wearing these Turkish, Speedway plaid pants or whatever with the checkered flag down the ass or whatever. They came out and they flew. They were acrobatic and they could both sing on those DVDs. And they both got pretty good interviews and both pretty tough guys out of the ring and, if necessary. And, kind of similar size and all that. I thought they were a great team, actually. But they didn't really ever push them with any real push with any love.
Another guest that I definitely want to have on my show. I'm sure you could get her on your show, but the reason why I'm bringing her up is your sister Diana
yeah.
said on the DVD about Owen being, you know, doing athletic stuff, and he'd be doing flips off of Diana's hands and stuff.
Yeah.
That's athleticism for Owen. My favorite move that Owen used to do is the enziguri. I used to love when he used to do the enziguri kick. He used to hit that right behind the guy's ear.
Yeah. He did it well, and never hurt anybody.
Yeah, the DVD... that came out is, if for anybody who wants, is called Owen Hart, A Heart of Gold. And it basically talks about Owen's life. And to me, when I seen it, there's so many different memories that you know, that I remember Owen when I was a kid. I mean, I told you, you and I've had talks about it. I've had talks about when I used to see your dad punch Shawn Michaels at the Survivor Series. I mean, I was a big Hart Foundation fan, so I could, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure for you it brought back memories, you know?
Yeah, definitely did. And there's a lot of good wrestling in there when they show Owens wrestling. Maybe it's in Calgary, or maybe it's around the territory. It could even be in Japan or Europe or Mexico. But all the wrestling Owen did on there was really good, British amateur wrestling, you know, that it's kind of a lost art. Some of these guys like Finley and, what's the other guy's name? Regal, William Regal and those guys. They try to...
Oh, Regal, yeah, he was
that.
Good. Regal was outright... Regal was outrageous, William Regal, yes.
Yeah, and Owen had learned from the
Chris
same
Jericho,
guys that were teaching.
Chris Jericho talked about Owen, and he said that Owen would never check his bag. He said he used to have carry-ons, and he would never check
his
bag
because
he wanted to get home to his
kids. Any more than the next guy. Yeah, he wanted to get out, get home, see his kids, see his wife, see his house, enjoy, you know. But he'd be the first one to take the earlier flight to get back to territory or get to the destination. He'd leave, in the middle of the night, so he'd get there with margin to spare and another plane that he could still catch if there was an emergency. He'd always have a backup plan ahead, so that if the one he was on didn't work, there was another one to fall back on. And other guys like Jim Neidhart would, miss the last one or something, you could gamble on catching the last one and find out it was sold out or it's gone. You know, he was late and he couldn't get through in time and stuff. So that's, and some people tried to speculate even within the family that Owen had been intentionally killed. I said, that's bullshit. He was one of their best talents, and they loved him for being so funny and being, such a, he was a joy to be with on the road. He kept everybody kind of feeling good, but he was harmless. He never hurt anybody. He'd never harm your relationship with anybody or your finances or anything nasty like that. It might be someone who's bragging about getting away early that night and switching his match from the second last to the opening match when he found his duffel bag locked to the locker or something and, would miss his flight. That would be kind of, serves you right. You're bragging so much about it and gloating about it. Now you're riding economy and we're all in first class and, so he did that to Davey Boy one time and then lured him back into first class, but had made arrangements with the flight attendant to He says, that is Davey Boy Smith. And one says, no, it's not. He looks just like him, but he likes to follow the wrestlers around and all that and trick some of them and all that. But he looks and he says, boy, he's a twin. He looks exactly like him. And one says, yeah, I even take steroids or something. So when the guy came, when Davey would come to see some new Japanese books with him and Dynamite in them, Owen would just let him get interested. He'd be leaning over Owen's seat. No one would give him the signal to the flight attendant to get this pest out of here. And, he'd invite Davey back again, say, there's nobody there now, and you can have the book and come on back and this and that. And then he'd make sure the flight attendant knew. And Davey didn't get the magazine and was escorted back to the seat and threatened that if there's any more of this misbehavior, they'll have him arrested.
One of the funniest ribs that Owen played on somebody was what he did with Lex Luger, when Lex and Bulldog would be in the ring together, and Owen would tag with Yoko, Owen would tell Lex to pick him up and power press him a couple of times, but every time Owen would get in the ring with Luger. When Luger went to go pick him up, Owen would hook his arm so Luger couldn't get him up. And then, then he'd almost like put him down. But then Luger would tag Davey Boy. Davey Boy would be pressing Owen all over, throwing him all over. And the boys in the back, that'd be funny, right? That'd be definitely funny.
Yeah, it's harmless, you know. Yeah,
I'm going to meet. I got to meet Lex Luger. I got a meeting coming up with Luger, at a high school. And when I meet Luger, I'm going to bring that up to him.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy. I like Lex, and you can say hi to me.
So anyway, getting back to this DVD, they have a common. It's called the Commonwealth Mid Heavyweight Championship match. With Owen Hart versus Viet Cong Express number 1 for Stampede Wrestling.
Yeah.
And then they have one Owen Hart versus Mackin Singh.
Yeah. That was Bud Batch and Booger, Mike Sharp. He weighed probably close to 400 pounds when he was in Calgary. They didn't do much with him in WWE. To have me to host this Twinkie or something, make a big mess with himself and have been a little outfit with lots of collars on it and stuff, like he was in S&M or I don't know what. But most of the had him eating and looking like a slob. And the name, you know, says it all, Batch and Booger.
Yeah, I remember Batch and Booger. I think he worked in WCW doing stuff too.
Yeah, he worked as an old minister, an old Father McGregor or something, or Father McDonald.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Bastion Booger didn't work out. If you ever heard of Bastion Booger, I think that'd be his only one that people remembered.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you about Owen. I didn't know that Owen wrestled for. I didn't know that Owen wrestled for WCW. Until I was going to interview Rip Rogers, and I found a match with Rip Rogers versus Owen at WCW.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was
I never knew
match.
That.
I didn't know he wrestled Rip Rogers, but I knew he wrestled for WCW.
He wrestled Rip Rogers. I have it on YouTube.
That's great. I'd love to see it. I'll see anything going in it. Okay, great.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Oh, you know who he was? He was what do you call it? Bastard Booger Mike Shaw was he was Norman the Lunatic And, oh, that's who that is. I see who that is. And he was also, what the heck's his name? Man Mountain Mike. Yeah, he was a lot of different people. He was fire something too. He was something.
Yeah, Fryer.
He was a big guy. I remember him in WCW, and NWA. Actually, he worked a match with Ric Flair, which was the worst. Which was the worst match I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Man. So anyway, so getting back to wrestling, a lot of well-known stars came out of Calgary, correct?
Oh yeah, for sure.
What was your thought on your brother Brett and Jim Neal and Neidhart and Davey Boy Smith and the British Bulldogs when they, you know, when they used to hook it up in those WWF matches? What was your thought process? Were you happy about that?
Yeah, they had great matches. Win, lose, or draw. I don't care who was winning or losing. They were just fucking good matches. Couldn't beat them. They're as good at wrestling, good at tag matches as I've ever seen. And I've seen some damn good tag matches over the years, classic tag matches all over the world. Like, there were teams like Pat Patterson and Ray Stevens, an unbeatable team. Yet other teams like the Fabulous Kangaroos were goddamn good. The Miller Brothers and the Mills Brothers and the Torres Brothers, the Vachon Brothers, the LeDucs, the Christie Brothers, the Scott Brothers, the Nielsens. There's so many of them that were... even the lowly Kelly twins could have interesting tag matches, especially being identical twins. You know, what's right, believable heat and not middling referee too goddamn much. But, you know, they could, those were great, those 2 out of 3 fall, 45-minute time limit, tag team championship matches we had over the years. They... would make up for a lot of very short main event finishes, and they would, they'd ride the slack for all kinds of stuff. In order to have one tag team match meaning something, you got to almost have another one on the same card that's going to emerge. So you got 8 guys tied up there just in 2 matches, but we did it all the time. We'd have sometimes, 12 good tag match, people, or 16 even, all on the same card. And they'd want to see, what, two or three would be emerging, and, they'd want to see them. And whether they did or didn't, sometimes they'd be split up, a good team, so that they could fight Abdullah or the Stomper if necessary. They'd rev up one of the guys, and then the other one would rescue them, and then they'd get back into the tag swing. Maybe, that might... I'll be tied in with, your tag champions or your challengers or whatever, going to Japan for a few weeks or something. So you play that up or you downplay it depending on whatever, you're going there in search of a title or, for triumph, or they're injured and nobody knows where they're going, and you don't mention that they're in Japan or whatever. Nowadays it's pretty hard. Everything is known and exposed, but, doesn't have to be, it's just the way it is, but it's, it's ways around all that. You don't have to, pro wrestling should be no more exposed than the Olympics or, Christianity.
I think you're right about
anyway.
That. The business has changed, and that's one of the things. It's like a magician that reveals the trick.
It's like telling you the magician that gives you the solution before he does the mystery, before he does all the suspense and stuff. It's like hearing the guy's going to be acquitted before the trial. So why even listen to the trial?
that's a good that's a good analogy. You know, you got something there. Going back to the Calgary days, your brothers used to tag quite often, no?
Yeah, they tagged a lot of different combinations, Owen and Bruce and Owen, Brett and Bruce and Keith and Brett, you know, Owen and all of us, you know, me and Bruce, Keith and I have tagged up quite a bit, all over Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, Montana.
You just tuned in, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Heart Grapevine. And tonight I'm interviewing Smith, and we're talking about old school wrestling. We're talking about tag team wrestling. We're talking about territories. There were so many territories back in the day, you know, with your dad running out of, you know, Calgary and Canada, you know, with Stampede Wrestling. Growing up, obviously you watched a lot of Stampede Wrestling because, you know, you were involved. Was there any other promotions that caught your eye?
Once in a while I would see, some kind of Grand Prix wrestling somewhere in my travels, in Canada, or, you know. And once in a while, I might see something in Montana that I wouldn't see in Alberta, like Texas wrestling, maybe, or Vern Gagne's AWA wrestling from wherever the hell it was, maybe Chicago or somewhere. But I kind of went by the magazines more than anything. You know, they'd always have Wrestling Illustrated and Wrestling Review, and I don't know what, all different wrestling magazines on the newsstands, and you know, you see by the cover.
Yeah, I remember.
Ratings.
I remember going into a supermarket and asking my mother to buy me a magazine because I seen either your brothers on the magazine, or I saw somebody on the magazine, and Pro Wrestling Illustrated looked really cool. Actually, you want to hear something funny? Somebody asked me this. I get asked this a lot of times. What promotions I used to watch? I never, ever, ever liked, for some reason, I don't know why, but I never got into AWA. To this day, I can't watch any AWA. And there's so many guys that I used to watch in WWF that was in AWA. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why I never got into AWA.
Well, Nick Bockwinkel was a great champion, and he had a lot of guys come through there, like Von Raschke and Dixon Bruiser and Crusher Lasowski and Animal and Hawk and those guys, you know, there's been a lot of pretty good guys out of there.
Crusher Blackwell also came from there, too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, big boy. He was pretty mobile for his size.
Yeah,
he moved around like Bam Bam Bigelow. Yeah, he was, I liked him,
man.
Actually.
Bam Bam Bigelow was one of my favorite big men because the guy could move around the ring. I've never had the pleasure of meeting Bam Bam. Have you ever met Bam Bam Bigelow?
I met Bam Bam in Puerto Rico a couple of times. Yeah, nice guy.
I was going to ask you, how was he? A nice guy?
He was a nice guy. He was curious. He wanted to know some of Stu's tricks and stuff, and I shared a few with him.
There's so much wrestling, you know, that people don't realize, you know, today's world. Today you could jump on the computer and you could literally find anything or any event that ever happened or any, you know, that's why I love when they make these DVDs. And you know, and I get to watch a lot of these DVDs. And there's a lot of AWA content on Scott Hall's new DVD. And Scott Hall is wrestling like Kurt Hennig. And I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, I remember him when he was Razor Ramon, or I remember Perfect when he was Mr. Perfect. But Kurt Hennig, you know, another guy from Minnesota. So AWA had a lot of guys that came to the WWF and made it.
Yeah, they did. They were big stars.
And my
yeah.
favorite match of Owen would be when he wrestled his brother Brett at WrestleMania and he got the win. That was my favorite match.
It was about my favorite too.
That was your favorite too?
I think so, yeah. I like Brett and Davey Boy and Wembley, but I think Owen and Brett was even better.
Yeah, the Davey Boy, yes, the Davey Boy in London was outrageous. Brett really did a great job in that match. Brett was really a great worker, and
yeah.
The Bulldog was just a strong guy.
Yeah, he was injured. He was tired and injured, and you know, he had been through a lot by then. But Brett, nobody would ever seen through that that either one of them was tired or injured or not really feeling up to his peak. But Davey sure wasn't, and Brett compensated for that. Brett was pretty good at carrying his partners and his opponents as necessary, you know. That's one of the signs of a real true professional is making another guy look good when he's injured and he can hardly walk, and you got to go out there and kill 20 minutes with him and make him look like the champion that he was or is. You know.
This is sad news. I just got to break in. I got some sad news here. They're saying, please pray for George the Animal Steele as he's fighting for his life.
Okay, well, let's pray for George the Animal Steele.
They're saying that George is very sick. I hope, you know, I like George the Animal Steele, so let's pray for George. You know, that's a good vibe.
Yeah, let's pray for
know.
Him. Give him
you don't watch today's wrestling, do you?
No, I don't actually. It's hard to watch where I'm staying right now in this particular facility, a seniors' place. It is on certain nights, but it's 50-50 as to whether you go up there and somebody else is watching something else. What do? You know, you just sort of quietly back up and leave. You know, I don't have my own hookup to anything here, and I don't care. I listen to CK. UA radio here.
Because your niece Natalia is really killing it in the WWE right now. She's very talented.
Yeah, she is. She's a beautiful girl, and I did see her. I watched the paper, you know, SummerSlam, and my brother Bruce's on the weekend, and I had to leave partway through Lesnar's match, but you know, I saw so much of it. It was on for hours before I got there, and I watched it for about 5 hours there, and then I had to leave. So it was getting a bit heavy, you know, like sitting in the same spot for 5 hours, watching a lot of the same finishes over and over and over and over, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you watched SummerSlam and what you thought about SummerSlam. I thought SummerSlam was good. But I agree with you. It was a little long.
Yeah, way too many false finishes and high spots, and then people would be doing the same thing that somebody else did in the previous match, and then it just made it look all the worse as it went on, and it was like more diluted than ever, and they could have shortened it all up and made it tighter and crisper and snappier, and it would have been better. And people, I'd rather watch. It's an insult to drag something out and you have to. You know, when you want cream, you want cream. You don't want a bunch of sour milk or curds or whey or, you know, you want cream. You don't want the diluted 1% or something added to it or anything. And you want milk, you want cream,
you don't want sour. I got you.
Give him the lousy cream and understand what you're saying.
You want it exactly. You want it right there. You don't want to wait for it.
I want a sizzling prime rib or something in rare, and I don't care about 500 pounds of free roadkill or something or unlimited amount for free. Watch that, you know.
If I had a pick of a match of the night from SummerSlam, it would definitely be John Cena versus AJ Styles. I thought that match was really good. What's your thoughts on AJ?
Match.
You like AJ?
I like AJ very much. He's good. Cena's one of the hardest workers they've ever had. You know, he's good as gold for them. So even though he's probably hated as many heels could be, he's still a moneymaker, and you know, it might as well, no sense killing the golden goose.
The one thing about John Cena that people tend to forget is that he does other things besides wrestling. He does a TV show. He does different stuff. So John Cena is going to be taking some time off to do some different shows and stuff.
Yeah.
But
maybe
to me,
time,
the
WWE... That'd be a good time for Harry to step back into the limelight. I hope and I pray
that I see Harry in the WWE again. That'd be really good. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be
yeah,
good
that
to
way
see him in
be.
There, man. You know, seeing wrestling, doing his thing. You know, those guys are good. They come from good stock. You know. They come from great legends, and, you know, to me, the British Bulldog was a legend. So, you know, Harry comes from a great stock. Talking about great stock, Kurt Hennig's son, which I think Curtis should be doing better, and he should get a better push, and they should be doing more with him.
Bring him in as Axel or something. They call him, gave him some goofy name, William Axel or something, or Axel's. I didn't like the name they even gave him originally. I mean, it wasn't a dynamic name.
Oh, he was, it was Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel, that's pretty boring, like, you know, I don't know. Or they'd be trying to tie in the axe.
He took basically like the last name of his grandfather, Larry the Axe Henning, who was a big guy. Larry the Axe Henning was huge back in the day.
He was a tough guy, too. You know, he wouldn't back down from a fight. He was, you know, he didn't have a lot of amateur finesse, but he had lots of balls. And, you know, my dad always gave him credit as being a courageous guy, lots of guts. I could back it up pretty much. You know, he's a tough guy.
I actually have another story for you, actually. Something to pick your brain with before we wrap this up and we end this interview. I want to pick your brain on something. There was an event in Georgia a couple of weeks ago, about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, where the promoter had all these wrestlers, and they had a lot of wrestlers, Arn Anderson, the Four Horsemen, you know, the Patriot. Well, at the end of the night, the promoter stiffed the wrestlers. I couldn't believe it, but the promoter himself stiffed the wrestlers and did not pay the wrestlers, and he was writing bad checks.
Yeah, what an asshole. You know, that's he'll learn the hard way that it doesn't work. You know, if he doesn't get jailed, somebody's going to knock his head off.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a dirty, especially like I heard Arn Anderson went ballistic.
I don't blame him.
Me neither.
Yeah,
hey,
guys,
I was gonna say, when you get a chance, check your. Don't forget to check your Facebook, because I sent you the Owen versus Rip match in there on YouTube.
I'll check that past as soon as I can.
All right, no problem. On that note, tonight, just to give the people a recap, you and I, Smith and Magic Mike, talked about wrestling, stuff that you liked growing up, obviously, and stuff that I liked growing up. We touched on SummerSlam. We touched on a lot of different things. We touched on a lot of topics. We touched on your brothers. We touched on, the Calgary. We touched on territories, different wrestling tag teams that you liked. Who was your favorite tag team growing up?
I might say the Fabulous Kangaroos. They were a great team. They were really interactive with each other. They actually were a team. You know, they do stuff like shield each other from the impact of hitting a turnbuckle and stuff like that. You know, they innovated that stuff. They'd come out wearing their kind of National Guard or whatever military uniforms, throwing boomerangs that had all kinds of stuff on both sides of them out to the crowd. They'd be carrying real boomerangs that could kill a kangaroo or something at 100 paces. But
that's
they'd throw away. Throw
I'm
you
laughing
these little small
because
ones.
I'm picturing them coming out with boomerangs. That's crazy.
And they'd be in military garb with a sort of hats buttoned up on the one side, you know, like a cowboy hat with pinned over flat on one side. But they would.
I gotta check that out.
They do a warm up exercise in the ring,
YouTube. I gotta check them out.
Yeah, they played it shoot all the way. You know, they'd warm up before they actually started the match. They'd do some resistance exercises with each other and all that. And they're real good teams. Like, one would never let the other one get pinned. He'd save them every single time if he had to. You know, otherwise, they'd know when they had to save or when they didn't have to. You know, they're pretty good at gauging when a guy was capable of saving himself and when he really couldn't save himself and would need to be rescued from the near fall, near victory or near defeat. They were very good, and they were one of the first teams. They used to call it Australian Tag Team Wrestling. It was a big tongue twister, but later just became tag, but that was original. That would originated in Australia, tag team wrestling. And I liked it, with girl wrestling or whatever, it was always good. Midgets, tag team is a great, that's a lot of good entertainment there. You could have a half hour, 45 minute tag team match that was as entertaining as anything on the card. The main event quite often was nothing more than to set the stage for next week. And there were times at any given time, anywhere, that it would be a little bit too blatant where maybe somebody was legitimately injured and couldn't do much, and it was a short, lousy match, but it did whatever it took to kind of give some hope to the underdog, the good guy, the challenger, whatever you want to call him, hometown boy in his rematch. But,
those were always fun matches, the tag team matches, because when I was growing up, my favorite tag team was the Hart Foundation, and my mother and my friends couldn't figure that out. They were like, why would you root for the Hart Foundation? They're bad. I said, but they're my favorite tag team. And
they were very good,
finally,
and they worked very well with
they were my favorite.
Teams.
I mean, I had the figures. I had the LGN, those big bulky figures of both men.
Yeah.
Was the time of wrestling that I grew up in, the 80s. You know, I grew up at the time when the wrestling was just about ending the territories, when WrestleMania came through. I remember watching, not only watching every WrestleMania, but I remember watching, you know, Saturday mornings, I used to watch wrestling, and I used to watch, not knowing that these men, the wrestlers, would spend hours upon hours just taping different, you know, different matches and stuff. I had no clue that the matches I was seeing on Saturday wasn't live. You know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah, yeah.
I never knew that. That's why I have a lot of respect for wrestlers, because not only did they have to entertain someone else's kids, but they put their bodies through rough times.
Well, they definitely did. And they had to kind of just keep going.
Look at your brother. Your brother, Brett, put himself through the ringer.
Yeah. And Dynamite for sure.
You know,
look at
all these different guys. You know, they really hurt themselves over the years. I mean, and you know, they paid the price. But at the end of the day, wrestling was something that they wanted to do, and they did it.
Yeah.
So anyway, Smith, do you have any last words for us tonight as we get ready to wind down this interview?
No, just I appreciate so many people that have reached out to me about my health, you know, having cancer and all that, and surgery recently and stuff. You know, I just hope maybe I can meet more of these fans out there in person as I'm feeling better. And if you get back down to Eastern Canada, which is close to the Eastern States, you know, where I came from originally, maybe do so, see some of these people at different fairs. I've been up here for several years now, and it's nice to be back home with my kids and all that. But at the same time, you know, I left a lot of, you might say, unfinished business down east, and, you know, I'd like to kind of wrap it up and, you know, get down there again. And, you know, I'm feeling like I can do that now.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'm glad you have the support of people. You know, when you're sick, you get support from people that you never knew cared. And a lot of people care about you, Smith, and we want you to get well, and we want you to feel at 100%.
Yeah, I find that this is all kind of foreign to me. I was never sick in my life, really. I had nothing unusual outside of the odd flu or mumps or measles, that kind of stuff. And the cancer per se is very, it's a learning process. You don't know what it's going to do or why it's going to do it, neither do the doctors. But, you know, sometimes there's logical reasons for it, and other times it's it seems less logical. For this, you know, there's no logic, but it was pretty much the same pain or, you know, same happenstance as before, but they've now given me a different reason for it or a different remedy for it, say, and you're confused, but as long as it sort of cures you, you don't really question it. You know, I have a lot of friends that say, you just go in there and demand this, and you just take an ambulance. I don't like doing that. I like to give the doctors the benefit of the doubt and not assume that they're all just puppets for the government and the pharmaceutical companies and stuff like that. I hope that isn't the case at all, you know, but
I was going to say, cancer is a very tough problem that we're facing. Sometimes the doctors can only do so much. So hopefully, you know, with your case and different cases, everybody's case is different. And, of course, you're going to run into people that are saying, how come the doctor's doing this? Why can't the doctor do that for you? You know what?
Yeah.
That's why he's a doctor and your friends aren't, you know?
That's right. I agree with you. That's why I'm not a doctor either.
You know,
I'm paying them. Or, you know, I want their advice. They don't need, you know, I don't know what's going on. I couldn't tell you anything about my pains and stuff except where they are. And that's about it, you know, how long I've had them. So right now, touch wood, I'm not really feeling anything that's too painful and unbearable. And I'm fairly active and I'm feeling good and, yeah. So anyway, thank you, all the fans, and we'll have some good guests coming up on our interviews. I got some high, you know, good prospects in mind, let's say, and one of them will be my brother Brett one of these days. So, you know, I want to bother him until he's ready to lots of time on his hands because I could talk to him for hours. And some of these other guys
well,
I'd like to get.
Well, if that happens, we got to find another producer for your show. I love your brother. He's my favorite. So I don't know. I'll do the show, but I'll have to be silent.
Yeah, it might be a conflict of interest for you. I'd like to get Billy Graham Superstar as well, and you know.
The superstar Billy Graham, one of the best WWE villains back in the day. There's so many different guests that you could probably get, Smith. I think another guy you should definitely have back on the show is your brother Bruce. I thought Bruce was really good.
Yeah, Bruce is willing to go on anytime. And the Honky Tonk Man, if it's the right time of day, you know, he's got to watch his health nowadays. He's available at certain times of the day and not after a certain time. But he's a controversial, great talker. And
Honky Tonk Man's kind of, like you said, I've been in the locker room with Honky, and he doesn't have a filter.
No, that's true. No.
Honky's a good guy, but the only thing I didn't like about Honky is I stuck my hand out and got nothing. And then finally, at the end of the night, I stuck my hand out and he shook my hand.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to wrap this up tonight. Smith, you want to end the show? We could do that.
You have more charisma than I do, but I love the fans, old school and new school. They've kept a lot of us wrestlers enjoying life, more than we would have otherwise. And, bless their hearts for their kind wishes at any time. And, I enjoy my interaction with the fans, and I hope I can see more and more of them in person.
Well, I enjoy my time on a Tuesday night talking with the legendary Smith Hart, talking about the Hart Grapevine of wrestling, talking about the great stuff. And I appreciate the comment
about
my charisma.
Might just mention one thing that
I try to have a good charisma when we're doing this. But I just want to thank everybody out there for listening. And I want to tell you that this is the Hart Grapevine, number 14. And right now we are with the great Smith Hart. And
Mike, I would like to add one thing to this. My son Matthew is going to Scotland in October, and he's training hard for it. And he and I and a guy named the Renegade will be training at my brother Bruce as much as we can before October when Matthew goes to Scotland. And I wish him all the best there. He's taking his girlfriend, and I know I went with my first wife there in 1981, and I had a great time working for, this was Pete Best, Pete Best's father's promotion. It was called Best Writing Promotions, and shortly before I got there, they merged, and they called it Joint Promotions, but that was the Beatles drummer's dad's promotion that merged with Writing and became Joint Promotions with the Crabtrees. And I actually had the pleasure, the honor to work with people like Pat Roach and Royal Albert Hall and wrestle some of their best guys there, including Davey Boy when he was only 16 in his hometown. And I enjoyed England, and then I went to France right after that, this whirlwind tour, and let my wife buy a lot of fashion stuff that was didn't even come into fashion like for 5 years in Canada. But she knew what she was doing. And it was great to see Paris. It's worth it. If you're in England, it's worth taking the hovercraft even for one day to see the Eiffel Tower. It's quite a building, quite a spectacle. Anyway, thanks for the letting me.
I was going to say, I wish your son, Matt, all the best. May he have a great trip when he goes out to Scotland. And I wish him and his girlfriend the best as well. You know,
yeah,
and like I was saying, Smith, I enjoy your podcast. They're very innovative. I learn a lot from listening to your stories, and the fans should know that you're a very great guy to do this podcast every Tuesday night right here, only on Totally Driven Radio Entertainment Network. So that's where you can hear Smith and all his guests. And you never know who we're gonna have on, so you gotta tune in to listen, you know.
They know.
They
United.
Know, right? They know. All right,
they
Smith.
Know.
So
yeah.
Take it United. Easy, and I'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to that. My pleasure. Good night.
Okay. Good night, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. Bye bye. And that is the legendary Smith Hart from the Hart family. Unbelievable guy. Hope next week you guys tune in. We're gonna have more for you. Take care, guys. So long. Bye bye. Farewell. Until we meet again for next week. So for Smith. This is Magic Mike saying, like I said, so long, farewell, bye-bye. And now we're going to take you guys out with the famous. We'll be right back.